Americans running a Libyan war.
Well, I don't really agree that it's wrong to work in Libya, that you necessarily have to be against the United States to work here.
We regard it as reprehensible and against the interests of peace and security in the region.
There's a lot more to the story, and we'll be discussing it live with a British pilot who worked in Libya and now believes things have gone too far.
This is ABC News Nightline. Reporting from our new bureau in Washington, Ted Koppel.
Good evening. This is a story about mercenaries, men who are working for the armed forces of another government strictly for pay, or so it would seem. We are talking about Pakistanis and Britons and Americans who are training, supplying, and flying support missions for the Libyan military. What makes the story even more convoluted is that at least one of these mercenaries is a former officer of the Central Intelligence Agency. We will hear more about him in a moment. And a little later in this broadcast, we'll be talking to a British pilot who was hired and then fired by him. The problem with this story is that it becomes next to impossible to isolate the truth. There are, as you will soon hear, several versions. But at a time when the United States government regards the Libyan government as an outlaw regime, it seems worth investigating charges that a former American intelligence officer is, in effect, running logistics for the Libyan military. William Sherman provides us with a background report.
Libya's leader, Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi, his dream is to rule the Arab world. But the details of how he is building up his armed forces and his ongoing invasion and occupation of neighboring Chad are not as obvious as his parades and rhetoric. However, a clearer picture of Qaddafi's design has emerged in recent weeks with the investigations of this man, an American, Edwin P. Wilson, an ex-CIA officer. As unlikely as it seems, Wilson, who worked for the CIA for 15 years, is allegedly the logistical mastermind for many of Qaddafi's plans. Wilson is under federal indictment for illegally shipping more than 20 tons of plastic explosives and detonation devices to Libya in 1977 via Houston Intercontinental Airport. But that is just one of Wilson's many business deals. Along with another ex-CIA officer, Frank Turple, Wilson also recruited 10 active and retired U.S. Green Berets to train Qaddafi's terrorist squads. From his business bases in Libya, London, Switzerland, and Washington, D.C., Wilson also helped procure tremendous quantities of arms and spare parts for Qaddafi's military machine. Starting in 1979, Wilson also recruited pilots and mechanics from several countries, including the United States, to fly and maintain Libyan helicopters and transport and fighter planes. Qaddafi, considered by the United States and many Western European nations to be one of the premier financiers of terrorist groups around the world, was not able to buy military technology and advice through normal channels. Wilson essentially became Qaddafi's agent.
Well, just who is Edwin P. Wilson the man? Is the CIA involved in his exploits? And how did he get to Libya? Because Wilson spent more than 20 years working for U.S. intelligence agencies, his biography remains a sketchy one. He began working for the CIA's Office of Security in 1951. After serving with the Marines during the Korean War, he became a full-time CIA officer in 1955. He acted as paymaster and was in charge of procuring equipment for the CIA's Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba in 1961. Later, he ran anti-communist covert operations in Laos and Vietnam. After reportedly leaving the CIA in 1971, he worked for Naval Intelligence, collecting information on international covert shipments of conventional and nuclear arms and technology. During those years, he honed his experience in sophisticated weaponry and developed many contacts with major arms suppliers throughout the world. He also cemented his relationships with top CIA officials. When he left government service, he started his own military technology business with fellow ex-CIA officer Frank Turple. In 1976, he signed the first of several multi-million dollar deals with Qaddafi, who then, as now, was seeking help to build up the Libyan war machine. The CIA will not comment on Wilson's activities, except to say they are not officially sanctioned. At the same time, it has been revealed that other CIA officials helped Wilson set up his businesses and contacts both before and after they retired from government service. In an interview with ABC News correspondent Greg Dobbs 3 months ago, Wilson explained his role in Libya. He insisted upon appearing in silhouette.
Well, I don't really agree that it's wrong to work in Libya, that you necessarily have to be against the United States to work here. I have a good little company, an export-import company. We're doing legitimate, honest business. And look in any country, you'll find Americans in any country doing business. The fact is now that Gaddafi possibly is at cross purposes of the United States. Well, that's not my problem. That's not my politics. I'm here as a businessman, and that's it.
Wilson was confronted with the allegation that he hired Green Berets to train Gaddafi's terrorist squads.
Well, that's an absolute lie, because, first of all, I don't think that this country is training any terrorists, let alone the Green Berets training them. The Green Berets, the special forces people, the Swiss company has hired some of these people on behalf of the Libyan government to do low-level training of their military people in basic military tactics, like you would have in a Marine Corps boot camp.
Another serious allegation against Wilson is that he hired British and American pilots to fly for the Libyan Air Force during Gaddafi's invasion and occupation of Chad. Russian and Pakistani pilots flew for Libya's understaffed air force as well during that invasion, which began last fall. It was the first overt sign of Gaddafi's plans for expansion. John Anthony Stubbs, a former British Royal Air Force pilot, was one of the mercenaries recruited by Wilson to fly for Libya. Stubbs, who was paid about $4,000 a month, transported fuel, small arms, and wounded soldiers during the early fighting. He quit after 3 months when the war got too hot for him, but he remembers Wilson with fondness.
I feel loath to say anything about Ed Wilson. He's a hell of a nice guy. He's superb.
Likeable or not, Edwin Wilson is the subject of a massive investigation by the Justice Department and the House Intelligence Committee. The investigators are trying to determine what role the CIA and its personnel played in Wilson's exploits and what new laws are needed to prevent U.S. intelligence agents from transferring their contacts and expertise to foreign nations. William Sherman, ABC News, New York.
Despite persistent reports of Americans flying on Libyan missions into Chad, the State Department has said officially it knew nothing about such activities. Until today, that is. Diplomatic correspondent Jack Smith has the story.
The New York Times had the story over the weekend, but it wasn't until lunchtime today that the State Department was able to match the newspaper's information and provide similar details.
We are further authorized now to confirm that American citizens have been crew members on flights from Libya to Chad.
U.S. officials say the administration's been slow in discovering the full extent of Edwin P. Wilson's Libyan operation, and they point to two problems. One of them lies here at the CIA. Administration officials say the agency this time has, quote, not been very generous with its information. They say that since the story involves former agency employees, the CIA is embarrassed. The other part of the problem lies here. Colonel Gaddafi may be the administration's public enemy number one, but since Washington pulled its diplomats out of Libya last year, U.S. officials say they now have few ways of finding out what goes on in the country. Like the New York Times, then, the administration has had to rely for its information on men who've worked for Wilson inside Libya. But U.S. officials do agree with the Times story. Without his Chinook helicopters and C-130 transports, maintained and flown by Wilson's foreign crews, Gaddafi would indeed have had great trouble carrying out last year's move into Chad. He would probably not today be in virtual control of the country and a threat to the Sudan. U.S. mercenaries were critical to the operation, and the implications are serious. What is the U.S. then going to do about it? State Department spokesman Dean Fisher.
We regard it as reprehensible and against the interests of peace and security in the region.
However, apart from calling it wrong, U.S. officials say they're helpless. Wilson himself is under indictment for smuggling explosives, but it is not illegal for Americans to go over to fix or fly Gaddafi's airplanes, whatever the international implications may be. So, short of a covert operation to eliminate Wilson, which the administration denies it's planning, there is nothing the U.S. can do to shut him down. Jack Smith, ABC News, the State Department.
It's a complicated story. John Anthony Stubbs, a former RAF pilot, was hired by a Swiss-based firm controlled by former CIA officer Ed Wilson to fly for Libya. Mr. Stubbs says he was deported by the Libyans after he refused to fly into an embattled airfield in Chad. He recently decided to go public with his story and is standing by live now in our studios here in Washington. I noticed before, Mr. Stubbs, that when mention was made by Mr. Wilson that he considered it an outrageous lie to suggest that any of those Green Berets were training terrorists, you were smiling. Why?
Because it's an absolute lie. Terrorists are being trained in Libya for and on behalf of the Libyan government, procured by Ed Wilson. Basically, it's the PLO groups that are being trained.
By whom?
By an American who's in charge of the C-47 and ground manipulation training program.
Now, wait a second. The C-47s, those are the Chinooks?
The Chinook helicopters, the
helicopters,
yes.
Right. And what do you mean by ground manipulation?
They're doing a lot of combat training in a place called Kufra, which is on the border with Chad. And most of Bob Hitchman's time is spent doing physical flying training with them and also ground Green Beret sort of training.
And who is Bob Hitchman?
Bob Hitchman is an American who's Ed Wilson's right-hand man.
Now, are you just giving us something that you heard while you were in Libya, or do you know this firsthand?
No, I know this firsthand. I spent a lot of time as a C-130 pilot round the table in Tripoli, talking to Gaddafi personally, who was discussing the move down into Chad, like what missions I should fly, what missions my British counterpart should fly, what missions Bob Hitchman should fly on the C-47s.
Now, who all was around this table?
Me, another British pilot, a chap called El Yazi, who is one of the seven who took over the government with Gaddafi.
He's a colonel.
He's a colonel, El Yazi, yes. He's in charge of the transport fleet.
And Wilson?
Ed Wilson is only contracted to supply everything they need from British pilots, technologists, air logistic experts. In general, Ed Wilson is contracted to supply everything that they require, from pilots to navigators. This is apart from the Pakistani pilots.
Now, who all are they? They're British, they're Americans, any other nationalities?
The Americans are doing the Bob Hitchman training program on the Chinooks, and the rest are British, apart from the Pakistanis.
I don't mean this to be an insulting question, but why would Gaddafi come in and meet with you personally? I mean, you're a pilot. You fly C-130s, you fly cargo planes. Why is it necessary for
Gaddafi,
him to talk to you?
Gaddafi was not meeting with me personally. I was in the room together with one other British pilot, together with El Yazi, virtually just listening to the discussion as to where our next mission on the C-130s was going to be.
These discussions would be carried on in what language? Presumably in Arabic.
These were not. They were carried on in English.
By Gaddafi also?
By Gaddafi and El Yazi.
And what was the... I mean, what?
Because I don't speak Arabic.
Well, I understand, but he was talking about what? About the invasion into Chad?
He was talking about the invasion of N'Djamena. That's way down in Chad.
Well, we've got a little map there to the right of you. Would you just show us where it is in relationship to Libya?
N'Djamena is way down here somewhere, almost bottom south. Now, we're talking of almost this way, but N'Djamena is there. Our main bases were where the Russian fighters are, which we were supplying with fuel, are Kufra, Seba and Okba We're talking about Tripoli here now.
Right.
So we're talking in terms of maybe 3 hours flying around this area. And all the Russian pilots were based in these places. And we were taking down fuel, bombs, and liquid oxygen.
Now, Mr. Stubbs, again, I don't mean this to be an insulting question, but
no,
why, why are you being so good to us? I mean, why are you telling us all this now? one would think that you would want to keep this very much to yourself.
Well, Ed Wilson has a contract out on my life. And when I was deported from Libya, he issued this threat. And I said, Ed, all I need is what you owe me in the way of money, and I'll keep quiet.
Which is how much?
It's round about £3,500 sterling, $7,000+. And nobody is going to put me virtually in jail for 3.5 months without paying me. Secondly, this was a different consideration in so much as I felt what is happening down in Chad, in Libya in general, should be brought to everybody's notice. And I've approached the British government and the British press, who are very reticent or very slow to do anything about it.
Well, again, just allow me to interrupt for a moment. Isn't this kind of a belated pang of conscience here? I mean, you engaged in this process for 3.5 months, and then the man, why did he decide not to pay you?
Well, bearing in mind, I was contracted to fly for Ed Wilson for the Libyan government. Now, he was getting a rake-off for my services, and Wilson was going to pay me. Now, when I was checked out on the C-130s, I eventually refused to fly down to N'Djamena.
Why?
Because it was under shell fire at the time, as I'd heard and talked to the Pakistani Air Force pilots.
So you wanted to get out, and when you wanted to get out, he didn't want to pay you?
I didn't want to fly down to N'Djamena under fire. I'm a straight, give or take, commercial pilot. So when I refused, the Air Force came back to Wilson to say that I was not doing what I was contracted to do.
Joining us now from our New York studio is ABC News Paris Bureau Chief Pierre Salinger, who is in New York on assignment. Mr. Stubbs, back to you again for a moment, though. You were telling me before the broadcast about one particular flight that you had made from Libya to France. Would you go over that, please?
Well, that was just one personal flight I made, but they were going on all the time. Another British pilot who was out there, a chap called Ken Price, who's an ex-RAF officer as well, had flown many missions with a MiG fighter down the back of a C-130 into Le Bourget, France. I just happened to fly only one. But what we're talking about is the French are overhauling MiG fighters, MiG 21, 23, and 25 fighters in France. They're also supplying Mirage jets, which is well known. That's no secret whatsoever. But they're overhauling the Russian flown fighters.
And so you have British pilots allegedly flying Soviet jets into France to be overhauled. Now, there are a couple of questions that come immediately to mind. I guess the first one is, why not simply fly French technicians and spare parts to Libya?
That was said to me. I don't know. I really couldn't tell you.
All right. This is the reason that we've asked Pierre Salinger to be with us, because, Pierre, I know you've looked into certain aspects of this story, and what can you tell us?
Well, Ted, first of all, we have to remember that since the flight that Mr. Stubbs is talking about, which I believe was in December of 1980, there's been a change of government in France. I talked to a very high official of the current government who said, first of all, that any records that had anything to do with sensitive material or sensitive operations in the previous administration have disappeared or have been destroyed. So he could not give me a direct answer on whether Mr. Stubbs' allegation that this flight took place is true. However, this official said to me that there were two reasons which led him to believe that it probably was not true. First of all, why would Soviet-made equipment be flown to France when there were all kinds of Russian technicians in Libya, when there were all kinds of flights going on between Tripoli and Moscow, and the equipment could be repaired there? And second, why at this particular point, which was December of 1980, which was the lowest point in relations between France and Libya, just after the Libyans had sent troops into Chad and overthrown the government and installed a government favorable to them, headed by President Gukuni. He thought that it was probably untrue.
All right, Mr. Stubbs, let's for a moment put Pierre Salinger's second point aside, because that really involves a political judgment. But the first point that that his contact in France makes is certainly an excellent one. There are, as you yourself told me, constant flights between Libya and the Soviet Union. Why not fly those planes back to the Soviet Union?
Correct. I really couldn't tell you why this is happening. It's going on all the time. But bearing in mind, Libya is desperately short of spares for the fighters and also for the C-130s.
You think that maybe Moscow has them on a short leash?
That would be conjecture on my part.
But I want to be absolutely sure, though. You yourself saw one of these aircraft in the back of a plane that you piloted from Libya into France.
My friend was employed as a loadmaster to physically position it down the back of a C-130.
Well, what about the plane that you flew? I thought you said you had flown one in.
That was the one. He positioned it, and he flew on the flight to Le Bourget with me.
But, I mean, did you personally see that aircraft?
Well, I wandered around it and helped load it, if you like, but... Not
physically.
Well,
I was going to say, it's kind of hard to miss, isn't it?
Yeah, it was only down the back, nowhere else, with the wings either side of the fuselage.
But to this day, you have no idea why?
Well, I couldn't give you the political implications
no,
at all.
Right.
I just flew the aircraft.
We have very little time left, Mr. Stubbs. I just want to ask you for a judgment. Without the American and British personnel, could Libya conduct its war in Chad?
No way.
Because?
Absolutely no way.
Because?
Because they're short of spares, they're short of pilots, there's no Libyans who are capable of flying the machines. Need I say more?
No, indeed, you've just about filled out the time totally, and I thank you very much for joining us here this evening, and our thanks also to you, Pierre Salinger. That's our report for tonight. This is Ted Koppel in Washington. For all of us here at ABC News at our new bureau, good night.